time. This morning, we're going to be looking together. We're going to start a new series called The Joshua Generation. And this is part one today. We're several weeks in this message series that we're going to spend together in God's Word. If you have your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 1. We're actually going to look at verses 1 to 5 today. And I want to be clear as we begin this sermon series on the why that we're doing this series. I believe that the Lord wants us to possess the promises, plans, purposes, and prophetic words which He has spoken over us, which He has for us. The time has come for us to cross over with strength and courage into new territories, embracing and expressing the kingdom of God, which the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 14, verse 17, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And what are these new territories? Well, they're going to be both personal and corporate, and they include the promises, the plans, the purposes, and the prophetic words that the Lord has spoken to us as individuals and as a church family. So over the next few weeks, we're going to spend some time together in the book of Joshua. The messages will be an encouragement to us to move out intentionally in our spheres of influence, joining the Lord on His mission. We want to rise up as the Joshua generation in the strength and in the courage of the Lord. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, since you're in Joshua, look down there. It says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." So today, we're actually going to unpack Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, about taking intentional steps with the Lord. I believe that's the first part of the message that God wants to speak to us from Joshua, taking intentional steps with the Lord. And as we do that, let's pray together and ask Him to speak to us. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we confess that You are here, that You're speaking and moving, and we are grateful to acknowledge Your presence. We thank You for the opportunity to meet with You and to meet with each other. And Lord, we believe that You're doing something in our lives at this time to help us to become a more intentional people. As Sharon shared in her testimony this morning, Father, we see the impact when we respond to You and we partner with You in the neighborhood place, the marketplace, the workplace, the school place, to just share Your love, to pray for others. It makes a huge impact. You make a huge impact in the lives of others. So today, Lord, I pray as we spend time in Your Word, I pray that You would help us by imparting to us physical strength and emotional strength. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to be strong. With You helping us, we believe we can be strong and courageous, bold. And so, Lord, we're asking for that. We're asking for Your strength, Your physical strength and Your heart strength to help us as we journey with You in new ways in this new season. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So let's begin our study together by reading Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. "And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" The key verse that I want you to focus on is verse 3. "I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I have promised." 40 years before this, the people of Israel had stood at this same place at the banks of the Jordan River. That generation had the chance to enter into the promised land. Some of them even went in as spies into the land, and they brought back first fruits of that which God had promised. But they failed to mix the promises of God with faith. According to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, that's a fatal flaw for that generation. In any generation, when God speaks, we respond with unbelief. It actually says they had an evil heart of unbelief. They chose not to believe what God said. Their fear and unwillingness cost a generation 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. It cost them 40 years until one generation that chose unbelief had to pass away so that another generation could be prepared and ready to go into the promised land. In Joshua's day, a new generation stood on the banks of the Jordan River. It was their chance to fulfill the promises that the Lord had put before them. I believe that Jesus is speaking to us, and when he speaks to us in Scripture, like in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, Jesus speaks to us in a way to encourage us and to help us to stay on task with him. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus says the road to heaven, or the road that he calls us to be a part of, is a narrow road that leads to life. Last week we mentioned that there are ditches on both sides of that road. It just helps me with the imagery. Jesus says, come follow me. There's a narrow road. It leads to life. There's a broad road that leads to destruction. And if you'll think about the road that Jesus has called us to, think of it as a road that's narrow with ditches on both sides. We are called to live in the middle, to walk in that middle. But often when it comes to the promises and to the purposes of the Lord, the words of God, we fall into a ditch, one of two ditches. When God speaks to us and he gives us prophetic promises or he gives us his plans and purposes, we can fall into a ditch of either presumption or passivity. A ditch of presumption or passivity. Passivity is when we simply pray and we wait for the Lord to bring his promises and prophetic words to pass in our lives, and we do it and we say it all depends upon God. That's passivity. That's one of the ditches when we're following the Lord. Another ditch when God speaks his words to us with his purposes and plans is presumption. We launch out and we decide that we can make the words of God happen, that we can make them come to fruition, that we can make his promises be fulfilled, and we'll make them happen. So one is, we say it all depends upon God. That's passivity. Presumption is living like it all depends upon us. But God has called us to live in a place of whole and healthy balance. There's actually a better way to live, and that is to take intentional steps of action with the Lord. This is a third way, the third way of healthy balance and wholeness to stay on the narrow way. The Lord speaks, and then we listen. So the Lord speaks, he gives a prophetic word, he gives an impulse, he gives a promise, he gives a purpose or a plan. We listen to the Lord. We want to hear from the Lord. Our vision statement, we want to establish people in intimacy with God. We believe that our God speaks. We believe that we have a God who makes revelation, who makes his plans and purposes known to us. He gives us prophetic words and promises. So we listen. And then we choose to co-create with the Lord. We seek the Lord for his wisdom, for his timing, and for his direction. Then we reflect in community on what the Lord is saying, and we commit to obeying what part he would have us to play. The second part of our vision, it's an integrated whole. Intimacy. We want to establish people in intimacy with God, and we want to express true Christian community. I believe that if we're going to be intentional, if we're going to respond appropriately to what God is saying and doing, when God speaks, we listen, then we process that together. We seek godly wisdom. We seek to say, this is what I think the Lord's saying. We commit to obeying what part he would have us to do in that word that God is speaking to us. So we process it together. And then thirdly, we step out intentionally. We want to be a people of the kingdom. We want to extend his kingdom, the kingdom of God in the earth. And I think that that takes intentional action. We get in action around what we believe the Lord is saying and what he's confirmed to us with the body, with his leadership, and we do that together. And so I believe that the third way is to take intentional steps of action with the Lord. Not saying it all depends upon God and not saying it all depends upon us, but we are a people who say God speaks. We want to listen to the Lord. We want to seek Him together. We want to get confirmation. We want to talk and we want to share. And we want to process that we can hear the wisdom of the Lord. We can have a shared vision and a shared mission together. And then we want to take the steps that we think the Lord is calling us to take that are intentional in that season. So Calvary, what is God saying to us in this season? What is the Lord saying to us? Verse 3, look at it. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Then look at verse 5. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Specifically, I believe that the Lord is asking us to take some intentional steps in partnership with Him. I believe that the Lord wants intentionality to become a part of our lifestyle as a people. God said, I'm going to give you the land where you place your foot, every step that you take. That takes intentionality. That takes partnership with the Lord. That keeps you out of the ditch of passivity. There's actually assignments, callings, places, actions that He wants us to do. And we're not doing it on our own because He says, I'm going to be with you. I want to be with you. I'm initiating this. Every place where you step, I want to be with you to give you what I promised in this hour. So I believe the Lord is challenging us and speaking to us in this season about being an intentional people, not just trying it on, but actually moving over time to a lifestyle. What does intentionality look like? What is the intentionality that God's calling us? What does that look like? Back in the fall of 2016, our staff team got together and we were praying. Pastor Steve we'd been in the middle of a series on the kingdom of God. You remember last year we had talked about our vision. We started with intimacy and then we looked at the kingdom part of our vision. And then as we were praying, we were starting in February and March, we were going to look at the third part of our vision, which is community. And so we were praying as a staff team and we asked the Lord as a team, would you please show us a way to tie these two series together? Would you give us some intentional action? Would you give us a way that we could partner with you so that we're just not talking about it and we're not just hearing lessons with our heads, but we actually get it in our hearts and a way that we can join you and partner with you? So we prayed about that. We asked the Lord to show us, and we asked for a specific application that He wanted to give us. And as the team prayed together, as we sought the Lord together, we believe that the Holy Spirit spoke to us. He called us to take our prayers to the streets. What do I mean by that? Well, you know that we have been involved in doing ministry team training around here since 1988. We actually began the training then. The formal training started in 89. And we've been doing that for all these years because we believe that God has called us to learn how to hear the voice of the Lord, to partner with Him, and to minister to others like Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus came to heal, save, deliver, and encourage. How do we partner with Him in that process? Well, one of the key things to ministry team training is simply being available to the Lord to ask someone, how can I pray for you? That's the first thing that we teach. When someone comes up to us at ministry team training, we ask them the question, how can I pray for you? And then we listen both to the person as they share what it is that they want prayer for, and we listen to the Holy Spirit. How would the Lord have us to pray? What is He saying that He wants us to do in that prayer time? So we're listening at two levels, both to the person and to the Holy Spirit. A very simple question, how can I pray for you? We've learned to do that. We've learned to listen to the Holy Spirit. We've learned to listen to the person and then to minister as the Lord leads. That simple prayer inspired us as we were praying and seeking the Lord together, and we felt like the Lord was saying, take this question outside the walls of Calvary. We do that in our small groups. We do that in our different Bible study programs, our student ministry, our children's ministry. We do that in our services. That's just a natural part of who we are here. And when we prayed and the Lord gave us, says, just use this question outside the walls of Calvary. How can I pray for you? It just felt good to us and to the Holy Spirit. We were really encouraged. And I just want to say, to me, the Holy Spirit is brilliant. He takes a part of who we are, a very natural part of who we are, and He gives it to us in a way to get in action together in the three parts of our vision. Actually, we were asking Him to tie two parts of our vision together, and He tied all three of them together. How can I pray for you? We want to listen to the Lord, listen to the Holy Spirit. We want to listen to the person. How can I pray for you? We're doing it in a community. We actually spent time going out together, learning, discerning. Before we went out, we would pray and ask the Lord, show us who you would like for us to pray for. Give us words of knowledge. Give us words of wisdom. Help us to know who you're targeting, who you want to target with your blessing and your mercy and your healing and your love. Like Sharon said, there are times when we just need to know God's got our number. God knows our name. He knows our address, and He wants to touch us. And so God did that with the community. And then the kingdom part is just getting in action outside the walls. In order to get in action, what we did was we planned some compassion events. You remember those from March all the way through June. We had times when we gathered here together. We spent time listening to the Lord. We got in groups to listen to the Lord. And then those groups of twos and threes went out. Then they came back and shared what the Lord had done. First, we practiced listening to the Lord together. Then we went out and we went to the marketplace. We went to stores. We went to neighborhoods around us. That emphasis ended in June. And we did some of that not only here at the church, but we did that in our small groups as a part of our journey group ministry. Many of us started learning new skills of intentionality through those compassion events. We practiced waiting on the Lord, listening to the Lord, and we practiced risking with the Lord. We learned to overcome fear and inadequacy. It was powerful when we would share. We'd come back from those times of going out and making ourselves available to the Lord. For some of us, just having the courage to show up and then to go out was a huge breakthrough in our lives. It was a huge step of obedience, a great expression of courage. And then as we kept trying, we actually went beyond that being the victory to we gave it a try and would try that to risk and to share as the Lord gave us opportunity. We learned to overcome fear and inadequacy. We discovered the importance of doing mission together, that it's such a source of encouragement and mutual support when you do it together. We weren't meant to live alone. So many of us, we operate as independent contractors, but God made us to need one another. And I know that that was one of the sharings that we learned as people would come back to either our journey group or to those compassion events. And they would say, man, just having someone go with me and us just going together, that really helped me to have encouragement and to have the courage to risk in that journey. And I want to be clear and say, our lifestyles are not changed yet, especially our lifestyle as a church is not changed totally yet. We started doing something. We practiced. We went from March to June, and it was some steps of obedience, but we're like at the beginning of the beginning, as a friend Mike Bickle says when he's talking about what God starts doing in us. We've not arrived, but we've taken some steps of intentionality, and I'm praying that God would make it a part of my lifestyle and your lifestyle, that we would be intentional with Him in the school place, the workplace, the neighborhood place, the marketplace, because there are people who need the Lord's touch and His help and His presence. So I wondered what the Lord wanted to do this fall. I was praying and asking the Lord, how do you want us to be intentional? Because I want this to become a part of who I am and a part of who we are, this intentionality in touching those around us. And then Hurricane Harvey hit. And I would say that was a pretty significant time of getting intentional with the Lord, wouldn't you? I mean, that was a real time of intentionality, reaching out, expressing the love of God. God brought people to us whom he loved and needs the touch of the Lord. We're still ministering to people. After Hurricane Harvey, we're still in contact with people, still praying with people. We've had people that have come to be a part of our church. Some of them are here this morning, and we're so glad that God, in the midst of this tragedy, that God has helped people to experience true Christian community, help people to experience care and love and hope in the Lord. And so we're still engaging intentionally with people in the midst of the recovering, the rebuilding effort. So that storyline brings us to these messages in the book of Joshua. I believe that the Lord is inviting us again to take intentional steps with him. We're not doing it by ourselves. We're not doing it presumptuously, just saying this is what we're going to make happen. But we believe, based on what the Lord spoke to us last fall, based on what God did as we stepped out and we began to practice together from March to June, then with what the Lord did in redeeming the disaster of Hurricane Harvey, he's still giving us that invitation, that opportunity. We believe that God's calling us to join him, and he has purposes, plans, prophetic words, and promises that he wants us to partner with him in this day. So, what are some of the intentional actions that I think the Lord might want for us to take in this season? I want to talk about three intentional steps of action that the Lord wants to lead us in or for us to try on in this season. And by the way, as is always true, we place the notes to the messages are on our website. You just go there, resources and messages, and you'll see my notes there. So if you can't keep up with these three explanations, you can go there and find them on the website. I want to talk about some steps of intentionality together that I think is a way for us to respond, not presumptuously, but to get in action, to move us out of passivity with the Lord in this season. Number one, prayer walk your neighborhood. Prayer walk your neighborhood. Verse 3 says, I have given you every place where your steps fall. God says, I want you to have some steps. I think one of the best things that we can do is get intentional in our neighborhoods and walk and pray, actually prayer walk the neighborhood, letting the Lord know that we'll serve as his priest. We go out prayer walking and we say, Lord, I'm your priest, I'm your son, I'm your daughter. Would you lead me? Would you show me how to pray for my neighbors? Would you show me how to pray for my neighborhood? I want to represent you here. I want to represent your will for my community. What does his will for our communities look like? What does it look like to be a priest? Turn to Psalm chapter 24. Psalm chapter 24. Let's look at verse 1, and then we'll jump to verse 7. Psalm chapter 24, verse 1. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to get this out of the place of just being theory. We want to be practitioners. What does it look like if God says, I'm going to give you every place where your foot steps? What does it look like to take steps of action with him? I believe this is one that we can do, prayer walking. Psalm 24, 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. So as we're walking through our neighborhood, we just declare, Lord, this neighborhood belongs to you. Lord, it belongs to you by creation and by blood. God has created, God has spoken, God has ordained, and then Jesus died to buy us back for the Father. Jesus gave his life, was raised again to let the world know that this broken world has a new king, has a new authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And so you and I get to go through our neighborhoods and we get to declare, Lord, because of your love, because of your creative energy and power, you created this place. You created the people of this place. And Lord, we declare that this neighborhood belongs to you. Lord, thank you for your creative work and for what you're doing here. And we just agree with him. We agree with Psalm 24, 1. The earth is the Lord's. Just name your neighborhood. Name your street. Whatever you have faith for, name your subdivision and say, Lord, this place belongs to you. Then look at verse 7. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. One of the most important things you can do on a prayer walk is just welcome the Lord. Lord, come in. Come and have your way here. Lord, come to this place. When we speak to the gates, we speak to the heavens, we speak to hearts, we speak to whoever is here standing in the way, and we declare, look, the Lord is coming. The Lord, and who is He? He's strong and mighty. He is the Lord God Almighty. So we get a vision of the Lord. We get a vision of His purpose. He's not just far off. He's not just transcendent, but He wants to come and He wants to bless. He wants to touch. He wants to move. So we simply invite Him. We speak declarations and then ask the Lord to give you revelation how to pray for your community. Again, we want to learn how to listen. How can I pray for my community, Lord? What do you want me to pray? As you're walking, ask Him, how would He have you pray for the different homes that you're walking past, for the different people for whom you're praying and you're walking. Ask the Lord to give you opportunities to meet neighbors and to pray for them. A sense of expectation, a sense of expectancy. Lord, would you grant me some divine appointments? Now, some of you are thinking, wait a minute, Jeff, you don't know my neighbor two doors down. Once he starts talking, he will not stop. We all have those neighbors, right? But you know, I think the Lord is wanting to challenge us to be available, to listen. Some people are so lonely. And when you think about what gets stirred up in us, it might be about what's in us rather than what's in them. Amen? So the fruit, one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. So when we're talking with somebody that doesn't have an off switch, our stuff will get triggered and we'll actually see some gaps where, hey, I need to be Christ-like. You know, we're sitting there thinking in the conversation, I wish this would end yesterday. And the Holy Spirit is saying, yeah, but isn't it a great chance for you to grow in patience? And we're going, can you find another way? I think the Lord is wanting to stretch us and change us. It's not about just changing our culture and our community. It's about creating capacities in us so we can love unconditionally and be available. Now, obviously, if every time you go out to pray and you get stopped and you don't get to do what you're wanting to do, you know, you might try another strategy and walk the other direction once or twice. So I'm not saying you have to make time all the time. Obviously, you can have some boundaries, but I really believe the Lord, I believe there's people in our lives. There's people around us. You remember the story of the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man did not notice that one at his gate. Didn't notice him. I believe the Lord wants to bring some people to our attention so that we can learn how to love unconditionally, so that we can learn to grow in our capacity to be Christ-like, to care, to see, to observe, and to be available. This is a challenge for us, especially in our culture. We are so busy. I am so busy. But I think that's what one of the things the Lord is trying to do in this hour. So look for opportunities to meet your neighbors and to pray for them. When you meet people in your neighborhood, ask the question, how can I pray for you? How can I pray for you? So we're walking, we're praying, we're welcoming the King of Glory. We're saying, Lord, this place belongs to you. And then we're listening and available. And as we have opportunity, as the Lord gives us divine appointments, we have the conversations. And sometime during the conversation, we just say, how can I pray for you? And then if the Lord allows, and if a person is interested because of the conversation, it's okay to invite them to church and say, hey, there's a place. If you don't have a place to belong to, we've got a church family and we would really love for you to experience. We're on a journey with the Lord together and we want you to experience the Lord together with us. But we can ask them. But the purpose is to partner with the Lord, to love unconditionally, and to just cooperate with Him. Some of the people that we're going to pray for already go to church or already have other church homes are not going to come here. But we want to be a people who can love unconditionally, and we can still pray for people no matter where they are in their journey. Amen? So, prayer walk. Number two, pray for opportunity to connect with people when you're at your workplace or the marketplace. And students, that's the school place. Who can I pray for that the Lord has for me here at school? Or how can I do that at work? And obviously you have to do that at times when it's appropriate, at times when it fits into the schedule, and when it's right. Now turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Pray for opportunity to connect with people at the marketplace, the workplace, the school place. Pray Matthew 6, 10 everywhere you go. When you're driving down the freeway, when you're in a neighborhood, when you're in a school, as I'm walking through places, I just pray, Lord, let your kingdom come here. Lord, let your will be done here as it is in heaven. Lord, let your kingdom come here. Let your will be done here on earth, in this neighborhood, in this workplace, as it is in heaven. And again, ask you for revelation from the Lord on how you can pray for your coworkers, for your fellow students. Ask the Lord to give you understanding, to open up doors of conversation. Look for people at work and in the shopping place. And ask the Lord, Lord, who would you have me pray for? And then when he leads you to those divine appointments, say, how can I pray for you? What does a divine appointment look like in a store? Well, there might be someone there who is like John and Sharon. The Lord just prompts you and you say, I wonder if I can pray for you. Would you mind if I prayed for you? And then how can I pray for you? If it's appropriate, someone who's checking someone out, the cash register is not a long line, maybe that's the divine appointment. Maybe there's someone that you see who has a need, and or they just catch your eye. Just pay attention, listen to the Lord, and risk appropriately. I've got a friend. Actually, we prayed for Pastor Dindo's church today. I thought that was amazing. And one of his church members, Oliver, he's just a great guy. Every time I go to Walmart, so I don't go to Walmart all the time, but almost every time when I go to the Walmart at Eldridge and 1960, I bump into Oliver, and I'll ask Oliver, what are you doing here? And he says, I'm here praying for people, and I'm having so much fun. See that lady over there? God just healed her. See that person? And that's happened the past three or four times. And I just go up to Oliver and go, hey, Oliver, how you doing tonight? And he's got a basket, and it's empty, and he's just walking through the store, and he's just looking for ways to share the love of Christ and to just pray for people. And I thought, man, he is consistent. I mean, I'm like a hunter. When I go into Walmart, I'm going after what I need, and I'm going in there to get it and leave. It's not become a part of my lifestyle. But that's one of his favorite things to do. I've just sat and talked with him, well, stood and talked with him. And I love that heart. And I'm asking the Lord to help me to develop a better awareness, cooperation. So prayer walk your neighborhoods. Pray for opportunities to meet people at the workplace, the marketplace, the shopping place. And then again, follow up. As the Lord makes an opportunity, you'd say, hey, do you have a place where you belong, a church home? Do you have a place where you connect? We'd love to be a part of that in your life. If there's interest there, or if the Lord opens up the door, that's just something that you can do in that journey. Then pray Romans 14, 17 everywhere you go also. Romans 14, 17. Turn there. Romans 14, 17. One of the reasons why we don't get intentional with the Lord is because we don't know what to pray. We don't know what to do. I'm giving you two very practical things. Prayer walk your neighborhood. Pray and ask God for divine appointments, for opportunities to connect with neighbors, with friends. Pray and ask the Lord to show you how to pray for the residents of your street, of your block, of your community. Ask the Lord to lead you to people, and then ask them, how can I pray for you? Would you mind me praying for you? And then you can pray for people, pray for opportunities to pray for people in the workplace, the marketplace, the shopping place, wherever it is that you happen to be. Then Romans 14, 17, this is actually the verse that has captured my heart. This is what the Lord's kingdom looks like. People go, when we're praying for the kingdom of God to come, for the will of God to be done on earth as it is in heaven, what does that look like? Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So when we're praying for people, the kingdom of God is righteousness. The Lord wants to put things right. The Lord wants to bring rightness. He is at work and he is trying to make all things new. And we're not just waiting for that to happen in the next life, in the millennium. We're actually partnering with the Lord today to cooperate with him to help things be right now, to bring justice, to bring grace, to bring healing, to bring salvation, to bring encouragement. We're partnering with him as he wants to make things right now. And then it says righteousness, peace. We've talked about that fact that that Greek word, eirene, is actually, it's picking up on the Old Testament verbiage because the authors of the New Testament wrote in the understanding of shalom. That Old Testament word, it's translated peace in the Old Testament, means wholeness, well-being, human flourishing. God wants wholeness to come in relationships and in lives. He wants well-being for people in our community, for children, for the homeless, for the needy. God wants human flourishing. He wants there to be grace and for people who do not have to have. He wants people to be blessed and encouraged. So we pray. We say, Lord, your kingdom is righteousness. Help us to make things right. We've messed it up and we want to see it made right. We want it to be a place of justice and grace. And Lord, would you bring shalom? Would you bring wholeness, well-being? Would you cause Houston, Texas to flourish? Would you cause this person to flourish, to have your favor and your grace upon their lives? And then joy. I believe God has called us to be a celebratory people. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate just the little steps of progress that we're making. Let's celebrate just the little pieces of change that God makes in our lives. Sometimes we can celebrate big things like becoming a grandpa. That's a big deal. You can celebrate, but just celebrate and pay attention to what God is doing and help people to experience the joy. And the Bible says this is in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is at work to manifest the rightness of God, the shalom of God, and the joy, the celebration of the kingdom of God. Isn't that good news? Isn't that what our world needs today? That's what God has said. I believe when he's saying, I want you to go in and partake of this promised land. I believe our promised land is the kingdom of God, and we become instruments of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, each of us. I get excited when I think about what the Lord wants to do and how he wants to change lives. I believe that the Lord is in the business of changing lives right now all around us. I mean, I think about what the Lord... So I'm going to have a transformation conversation. I'm going to walk in the light with a couple hundred of my friend this morning, right? So, you know, I think about what the Lord was doing in me. I believed a lie. I've told you the story that I'm a failure and how that would show up in my life. Whenever I felt like a failure, I would either... Just be overwhelmed with thoughts of failure, or this other thing would kick in that I'm going to prove you wrong. It's like once I feel like a failure and I didn't do what I needed to do, I go into hyper overdrive, I overfunction, and I kick into that. But the Lord had given me something to pray years ago. I want to feel as the default emotion of my heart what you, Lord, feel and say about me. Because where that was coming from, that drive was, I just didn't feel I could quote all the scriptures. I could quote all the prophetic words that God had given me. I'd even said a few years ago, Lord, why do you keep repeating yourself and giving me the same prophetic words over and over? And God said, because you're not getting it. And I said, but Lord, I'm getting it. And I quoted them back to him. And that's when he said, you're not getting it in your heart. And the voices of shame would feed on that thing of failure. And I felt fundamentally flawed, fundamentally broken, that this thing I was no good, and yet I could quote all the verses and I'd gotten prayer for it. Then through a process, the Lord disempowered those voices of failure and shame. And I've just been thinking about like the shelter experience that we just had. I thought, man, if I had gone through the shelter experience with the old voices and the old me, I would have done it, I would have committed to it, and I would have done it suffering. I would have done it thinking, did we do enough? Did we do our best? Did we blow it? I would have been thinking, well, I should have done this, I should have done this, I should have done that. Instead, someone, as they were asking me to share about what we were doing as a shelter, they said, so how did you do with that shame voice and that failure voice? I thought for a minute. I didn't hear those voices while we were doing that. It was just a significant learning experience. Amen? Never been here before, never done this. How do you, do you just do it? You just show up and partner with the Lord. And I thought about, there were some things we could learn. There were some things we could do better next time. But I actually celebrated all the things that God did through all of us, how people stepped up in new ways, how we stepped up and we saw lives changed. We saw lives healed. We saw lives blessed. And we're still walking the journey with prayers and love and affection. And we saw several people who came to fellowship with Jesus Christ through your demonstration of love and your conversations. They would say, wow, if this is what church is about, I want to know more about this. And we would say, you want to know more about Jesus too. And then the opportunities just abounded. And I thought, man, I would have done that thing and I would have been miserable and suffering. But now the kingdom of God in me is righteousness, peace, and joy. I can actually celebrate that I'm not who I was, and God can do something and I don't get beat up over it. That's change. And I'm in a lifetime journey of change like you are. So I don't know what God wants to disempower in you, but this kingdom where he makes things right, where we think right, we feel right, we believe right, which means according to his, not black and white. And we come into this shalom, this wholeness, this well-being, and we want to see people flourish and experience grace and mercy. And we celebrate with the Lord. Oh, that's the kingdom I want to be a part of. And that's what I want to get intentional around. And that's what I want to invite you to do together. So, what is the Lord saying to us in this season? Joshua 1:3, I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. I will give you every place. So think about your workplace. Think about your neighborhood place. Think about the school place. And let's prayer walk there. Let's invite the Lord to come. Psalm 24, Romans 14, 17, Matthew 6, 10. And then the Lord says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. What is the Lord saying to us in this season? I will give you every place where you set your foot. That takes intentionality. And he's given you a promise. You're not just doing it presumptuously, but he says, I will be with you. I will partner with you. Let's stand together. Lord, I ask you to take these words according to 1 Thessalonians 1:5. And that you would add your power, you would demonstrate your power, and you would cause these words to penetrate deeply into our hearts and our lives. Lord, we don't want to just study a book or read about the past, but we want to encounter the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I pray that as we spend time in your word this morning, and the rest of this series, I ask that you would move by the power and presence of your Holy Spirit. Release the presence of the Holy Spirit to bear witness, to engage, to energize these words, not at just intellectual level, but at a heart level and a practical level. And not only release the power of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit, but I pray you'll come into our lives with pinpoint accuracy and you'll help us to join you on your mission. Lord, we want to grow in our capacity to hear and to cooperate with you. We want to learn how to do that together. And we want to learn how to be intentional. We actually are praying here at Calvary. I'm praying for my life. I'm praying for our lives. That we would step into a new level, a new place of intentionality with you. Lord, would you do that in Jesus' name? Would you help us? Lord, some of us, this is scary, but you said have I not commanded you? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Lord, we ask that you'll give us grace over fear in Jesus' name. Lord, some of us, we think about conversations that we've had where we fell into fixing people or controlling people or we didn't communicate well in discouragement. Lord, I pray you'll break discouragement off of us. And I pray, Lord, that as we get up and go out with you, that you'll increase our courage. You'll give us heart strength to risk again and to learn new skills, to listen better to people, to pay attention to you. And Lord, we admit that we're on a journey. We have a long way to go. But we want to start, even with small steps, we just want to start with you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be strong and courageous because you promise that you will be with us. I want to invite ministry teams to come up. We're going to need several ministry teams this morning to pray for people. While I was praying for the service, I heard some things or had some impressions of things. And one was, I heard someone ask a question, how can this be? How can this be? It seemed like shock or exasperation or even despair. But I think the Lord wants you to know this morning that he heard your cry and he wants to help you. And I want to invite you to come to one of these teams and say, that was me. That's just been one of the cries in my heart. How can this be? And the Lord wants to touch you right in that place. Then someone else has a heart's desire for the Lord to tune your heart to him. You've just been having this longing. I want my heart tuned to him. And I believe the Lord has heard that cry of your heart. And he wants us to bless that. And he wants you to know he's heard the cry of your heart. He knows what you long for. And he wants to help you. And we want to pray for you and bless that and actually help ask the Lord to help tune your heart to his heart like a tuning fork this morning. Then we want to continue to pray for people that need jobs. If you need a job or if you're underemployed, we want to keep praying for you and with you. We want to stand in the gap for you and we want to pray for you. And so at the end of our service, let's see, Steve Buckles, would you mind leading that prayer for jobs over here by the communion table? If you need a prayer for a job, we want you to enter into full employment, or if you have underemployment, we want you to experience the blessing of that full employment also. So, and if you want to join us over here to pray for that, you can help Steve in that circle to pray for that. I think the Lord just, with a couple of these impressions, some of us have gotten the idea that God doesn't know my name. God's not paying attention to me. God doesn't know me. And I think the Lord's wanting to communicate to us this morning, I know you and I hear the cry of your heart and I'm for you. And I want to pray that for you. So if you're feeling like that, forgotten, that the Lord doesn't know, he's here to touch you this morning. Then if you need physical healing, if you have a prayer and you need encouragement or you need some breakthrough, or if you've become aware Jesus has been calling you or stirring you or inviting you to come follow him, you're just aware of this thing of I want to know God. We don't have thoughts like that unless God puts them in us, and God's the author of those thoughts. This would be a great day to just say to one of these team members, I want to follow Jesus. I want to learn what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. Would you pray with me? Would you help me? And these team members would love to help you to start a relationship with Jesus. He's already been pursuing you and calling you and loving you unconditionally. And then something awakens in us and we go, yeah, Lord, I want you. I need you. I want to follow you. Receive that gift. So this morning, it'd be a great chance, a great day to say yes to Jesus.